vulnerable individuals who rely on extended skilled care from nursing homes or hospitals have the right to be free from abuse and neglect.
Hi, and welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for news and information from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. I'm your host, Holly Hobbs. When families decide to put their loved ones in nursing homes or end-of-life care, like hospice care, they want assurances that their loved ones are being taken care of. When Medicaid and Medicare programs pay for this care, the government has requirements for protecting individuals from abuse and neglect. But these patients are particularly vulnerable, and federal requirements may leave gaps in protection. Today, we'll talk with John Dickin, an expert on healthcare policy, about our review of requirements and some of the concerns we found. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you.
So, John, what led us to look at this issue? Were there reports of abuse and neglect or some concerns?
Yes. GAO and others, such as the HHS Office of Inspector General, have reported on abuse of residents in nursing homes and individuals in other extended care settings. For example, we found that while relatively rare, instances of physical, sexual, and emotional abuse of nursing home residents were increasing in recent years. And we've made some recommendations for improving federal oversight.
And so the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, are responsible for monitoring abuse and neglect, including through reporting requirements. But we found some gaps in these requirements, right?
Yes, in particular, we found two gaps in reporting requirements for hospice providers that differ from the requirements that exist for nursing homes and extended care hospitals. And these gaps can result in less complete and less timely reporting of potential abuse or neglect for hospice providers. The first gap is that CMS does not require hospices to report abuse and neglect allegations to state agencies or to the hospice administrator when the alleged perpetrator of the abuse is not affiliated with the hospice directly. And so if the abuse were done by a family member or someone that was not affiliated with the hospice, another type of caregiver, that is not necessarily required to be reported by the hospice. And that's different from nursing homes or hospitals. Now, a second gap that we found was that even when the alleged perpetrator is affiliated with the hospice, hospices are not required to report allegations of abuse and neglect externally until after the hospice itself has conducted its own internal investigation. And then only a subset of those allegations, those that were verified by the investigation, are required to be reported.
So does this make hospice patients more vulnerable than, say, nursing home care or hospital patients?
Well, certainly individuals near the end of life receiving hospice care are potentially vulnerable to abuse or neglect. But there are some unique aspects of hospice care that can further heighten the vulnerability in these situations. One important factor is that hospice care is often provided in different settings, most often in an individual's personal home. The research shows that most abuse of older individuals is committed in the home by individuals' caregivers. So that's why it's particularly concerning that those incidents are not required to be reported to the hospice or to the state. It may also mean that there are fewer opportunities for abuse or neglect situations to be identified when care is in a personal home compared to a nursing home or a hospital where a resident interacts with a broad range of staff and visitors who can also identify or monitor the resident's well-being.
If there are families listening to this, they're going to want to know how they can find out if a nursing home or hospice provider has allegations of abuse or neglect. What can we tell them?
Yeah, one source is through the website medicare.gov. And on Medicare.gov, there's a feature called Care Compare that provides information for different types of Medicare providers, including both nursing homes and hospice providers. And this does include information on the state's inspections and any deficiencies, including those related to abuse. There's also a red flag for a nursing home on Care Compare. That's literally a hand in a red circle for nursing homes that have been recently cited for resident harm or potential abuse or neglect. So that's a nationally available initial source of information. Certainly each state's health department or licensing agency for hospice providers and nursing homes can also provide information, and others in the community that may be familiar with the nursing home or hospice provider.
So John just told us that even though the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services have requirements for preventing abuse and neglect, there are differences for care provided at home, which may leave patients in hospice care more vulnerable. John, given some of the differences we found in requirements, what do you think needs to be done to better protect those in hospice care from abuse and neglect?
GL's recommending that CMS would require hospice care providers to report all allegations of abuse and neglect immediately to state agencies, and that that information would be available then also for the federal Medicare and Medicaid agency, CMS. And that would be regardless of whether the alleged perpetrator is affiliated with a hospice or otherwise. That would really allow more assurance that hospices are taking steps within their authority to identify and report these situations and make corrections as appropriate, and that the federal government can hold responsible hospices that they are meeting those obligations.
And last question, what's the bottom line of this report?
Certainly vulnerable individuals who are near the end of life or who rely on extended skilled care from nursing homes or hospitals have the right to be free from abuse and neglect. But we found some gaps, especially in hospice reporting requirements. We think that strengthening these hospice reporting requirements will provide the information necessary that can help ensure that hospice care providers are taking appropriate steps to protect vulnerable individuals.
That was John Dickin talking about GAO's recent review of CMS's abuse and neglect reporting requirements. Thanks for your time, John.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Watchdog Report. To hear more podcasts, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And make sure to leave a rating and review to let others know about the work we're doing. For more from the Congressional Watchdog, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, visit us at gao.gov.